very interesting indeed. But on the face of it, he should have known that if somebody had raised this matter, he was going to be caught in this particular web, because he got into Parliament as an independent candidate. He's now crossed carpet to the MPP.
Yeah.
Because we know that in Fomina, he's now the, you know, the parliamentary candidate for the MPP. And so for him, it's very clear-cut. And the lawyers who need to chip in here, I've heard a lot of legal opinion on the subject, but on the subject of the ADA 3, you have the 97G, which says that, of course, you vacate your seat if you leave the party of which he was a member at the time of the his election to Parliament to join another party. That's the first part. Yes. Is that what has happened in this case? No. They haven't left the MPP to join NDC, PNC, so no. But the second part, or seeks to remain in Parliament as an independent member. The three of them, are they seeking to remain in this Parliament as independent members? That is where, I guess, the question is. Mm. Because the other side, one side says, yeah, they want to remain in this Parliament as independent candidates, right? But the other side says, no, but they want to be independent candidates in the next Parliament.
Yes.
That is, if they win this particular election that they're now seeking to contest as an independent candidate. So that's where, for me, the gray area is. And that is why we've seen that Afenyo Makin has gone to the Supreme Court to seek an interpretation to this particular clause in the Constitution.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court obviously will have the final say on this. How quickly they can sit to deliberate on this matter, considering how big it's become, for me, is the big subject. Because remember, a few things will happen. You have, for the very first time in our history, and this is one of the bigger things here, for the first time in our history, you have an executive president who belongs to one party, and you have a parliament that is controlled by the opposition party for the very first time. And depending on how quickly, the Supreme Court has a final say, because if the Supreme Court then decides that, of course, what has happened to this is unconstitutional, you expect that the status quo will revert, will revert to type. But depending on when they say, between now and December 7 is a long time, but we have to also look beyond December 7, because this Parliament's life only ends midnight of the
January 7th.
Yeah. Right? So this is monumental. You have the 2025 budget that will be read, that will have, this will have implications for so what is government business now? Who's going to run the government?
Well, they've indicated.
You have a majority leader who normally we say is the leader of government business in Parliament. Now he's from the opposition. So is he still going to be the leader of government business? Of course not. Is he going to be the leader of opposition business? Which I believe is what is going to happen, because the MPP, NDC now, will have their own agenda on a number of things they want to do, to prosecute now. And then, of course, the question then becomes, now they have the power to do a lot of things, right,
in Parliament.
But we also know, well, whatever bill you pass in Parliament has to go to the president for assent, right? So we're going to have a very interesting next few months. Until that. And so really, if you're just joining us and wondering, what are we talking about? Our democratic architecture tonight just changed. There has been a major earthquake in Parliament that has changed architecture. We haven't seen this before, where we have, as we speak tonight, the NDC is a majority in Parliament, and the MPP is in the minority. They have to wait what the Supreme Court will say on this particular subject before we can decide. But, and then, of course, then it, what he says, what Okudetu says there, the entire arrangement in Parliament needs to change, because the committees are set up to reflect the majority-minority divide. So you, every committee will have more MPP members than the NDC members. Now that has to reverse. The NDC will take over the committees. Look at all the powerful committees, the Finance Committee, the Public Accounts Committee, obviously one that is controlled by the opposition party, the minority party already. But then they take over all the other key committees, and they can do a lot. Now, they failed. Like, just one more point before you bring it. Remember, they wanted to remove some of the ministers, for example, the vote of censure that had been raised, and they couldn't because they were in a minority. They can impeach the president.
Interesting.
I mean, just imagine the, just the room. And we are not, we don't have that kind of democracy where you have a lower and an upper chamber. This is just one chamber of parliament. And really interesting times.
Yeah, very, very. But one person who also understands how Parliament, you know, works is Dr. Rashid Rahman of the African Center for Parliamentary Affairs. He joins us via Zoom now. Grateful to you, Doc, for joining. Was this something you expected?
Yes.
Oh.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yes.
Yes, I was saying yes, it was something I expected. I mean, different interpretations have been given to the constitutional provision, including the gray kind of area that Evans was just explaining.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in response to what Evans was saying, once people declare their intention to go independent or to contest on a ticket other than the party that they represent in parliament, it presupposes that the relationship is already frosty. It presupposes that the relationship is broken. So yes, I mean, it might be gray. It just simply says that they no longer belong to the party for which they are members in the House. But I believe maybe that might be one area that will need to be further clarified by yes. And if we ever have a constitutional review, maybe this is one important candidate for review, because it's a very serious matter to declare people's seats vacant. And we need to make sure all shreds of ambiguity are taken away, so that when speakers rule, at least they are riding on provisions that are as clear as they can be.
Okay.
But let me say this, and this is a message that I keep telling the parties in Parliament and our MPs, that minorities change. We should be careful when we are setting precedents, because it might be convenient for you today, but you might wake up tomorrow and you are asked to swallow that same pill, and it might be much bitter than maybe when others were swallowing it, because yes, the speaker was not riding on precedent very much. I mean, he was saying the ruling of Speaker Okwe doesn't tie his hands.
Okay.
But if you listen to the sentiments of Ghanaians, I think people were saying what happened 4 years ago, and if we are still operating with the same constitution, must happen today. Difference being, however, that in 4 years ago, the party wrote to Parliament. But, the seventh parliament is not the eighth parliament. If the party writes to the speaker now, they will be committing suicide. And I believe that is not something that the MPP wants to do at this time.
Okay.
So it's unfortunate that things have turned out this way. But I believe that we must uphold the rule of law. We must go by the constitution. And now let the courts come in and let them tell us whether maybe the Right Honourable Speaker aired or somebody aired.
Okay. So, Doc, stay with me. Let me bring in Alexander Fionnuakin, who is the Honourable Member for FUTU. And also, just about an hour ago, he was the majority leader. But Honourable, I'm grateful to you for joining us. I mean, for the first time, I saw you visibly angry on the floor. What's your next plan of action now? Okay. I think we've lost Afenyo there, but obviously, I've not seen him that angry before, but today he was. Let me bring him Draman again, then I'll come back to you. Dr. Draman, so the majority, or now the minority, have indicated clearly that they will not be doing business in the House. What would then happen?
Well, I think that's going to be quite difficult. Then our democracy is going to be crippled. And at a time when we are getting ready for elections, I believe that that's not what... the tension is already very high in this country, the political temperature. This is only going to heighten the temperature. And I think maybe some cool heads should prevail. I mean, like you said, we haven't seen the leader as visibly angry as he was today. I would say that perhaps he has to try and compose himself.
Okay.
and maybe see if, I mean, because I think in all these,
okay. So, Doc, to help our discussion, let me bring in Alexander Afemak in now. Alexander Afemak, I'm grateful to you for joining. What's your next line of action?
Alec?
Yeah.
Hello?
Oh, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
You let me hear how you introduce me again.
Okay. So we have Alexander Afemak, MP for Efutu on the line. Yes.
I'm not doing MP for Efutu. Well, you either doing the right thing or we just go. Please.
It's okay. Listen, majority leader.
So, I mean, you are the. Okay, so I have the majority leader on the line, Alexander Afemak. Is that okay?
Young man, why? Why do you do your journalism? You introduce somebody properly. And you don't make this thing for me to remind you and all that. What do you gain from it? Is it okay for us to have a banter?
No. I have only said I have the majority.
You started leader. With you have Alexander Afemak. Then okay. You say MP for Efutu. Okay. Then I have to remind you, please. Let's do the right thing.
Forgive
Is that
me.
Okay?
Yeah, that's okay. Forgive me.
Okay, so do the right thing and let's proceed.
Okay, so let me bring in Majority Leader Alexander Afemak.
Yes, sir. Good evening to you for having me.
Great. Thanks for speaking to us. So I was saying that, I mean, for the first time, I saw you very visibly angry on the floor.
I wasn't angry. Okay. I wasn't angry.
Okay. Okay. But
I wasn't
what's your next plan of action in all of this?
Well, Mr. Speaker has expressed his opinion, as he said. This is democracy. We don't need to be breaking shoulders over this matter. We've already filed at the Supreme Court. So we await the hearing, and then we go to the court and abide by the decision of the court. That is all. We are not going into any further debate on this matter.
But I mean, if you don't go back to the House to do business, won't that affect government business in the House?
Hello?
Honorable, can you hear me?
Yes, please. It's better now.
Great. So I heard your side say you are not going to go to the House to do business. And I'm asking, if you don't do that, won't it affect government business that you want to champion?
What has happened already affects government business.
Okay.
We can't do anything until the matter is finally determined. So let's wait for the determination of the matter.
Has a court
Thank you very much. I don't intend to go further on this.
Has a court decided when to sit on the case?
I don't want to go further on this. We are with the hearing and final determination of this matter.
So you mean you won't go to the House until this is declared?
I will speak no more, sir. I've made the point. Thank you very much.
Okay. I'm grateful to you. That's the Alexander Afemak Evans. I wanted him to stay on so we could ask him about what he makes of what the speaker says now, because his side, what has happened, are in the minority now. I wanted his reaction, but obviously nobody didn't get enough time for us to talk. But the former president, John Dramani Mahama, has been reacting on what has just happened in Parliament. Maxwell Agbaba is with him on his tour. Let's bring that reaction in and see what's happening. So let's listen to what the former president has said in relation to what has happened in Parliament.
I am hearing from Parliament is true, and something historic has just happened. The report I am hearing is that the Speaker has declared 4 seats vacant. Of the 4 seats, 3 are from the MPP and 1 is from the MDC. So if those seats have been declared vacant, then it means in the line of one parliament, the minority has turned to the majority and the majority has turned to the minority.
All right, so that is the former president reacting to what is happening. Well, anyway, let's see how it goes. But as more people are reacting to, you know, the conversation we just had with, we are right to call him the minority leader, aren't we?
No, he is the minority
leader. He is the minority leader.
I mean, there's a reason why he stood on his feet in Parliament and attempted to challenge the Speaker's position. And he's gone to the Supreme Court. There's a reason why they've left the House, they've left the floor of the Parliament as and when this was happening. The Speaker's ruling was quite clear. Yeah. Now, where did the Speaker draw his power? Mm. It is in their own standing orders. That the Speaker, when he's in the grey area, he is the alpha and the omega on the subject of rulings. You can challenge his position, but until you successfully challenge and overturn it, either through the parliamentary process or through the courts, what he declares and he rules is the law of the land in Parliament, as far as Parliament is concerned. Mm. And so as we speak tonight, his ruling is simple, that the four members of Parliament, their seats are vacated. And the implication of that is that the NPP has lost three seats. The NDC has lost one seat. That places them in the majority, as in the NDC majority. And the minority side is not a majority side. And so he becomes the minority leader until he successfully gets the Supreme Court
to overturn
that. Mm. Next week when Parliament returns, and that, by the way, they've adjourned this until Tuesday, I expect that the NDC side will sit in the majority seat. If they don't return, the House will proceed. What they need to, of course, get a House to work is a quorum. And the numbers that the minority side, of course, now the majority side, the NDC side, they have quorum to do business.
Yeah.
But of course, as we know, it's the government that takes the, of course, unless it is a private member's motion, the government will send its business to the House. And normally, if you send it to the leader of government business, or a minister will have to go there, what do you have to then do? I think is what you're saying is that until this is decided by the Supreme Court, they're not going to go to Parliament with any business, which is the point he's making to you that this has affected government business anyway. But there are already bills and other business before the House that is being considered. Mm. Parliament, because it's now within the domain of Parliament, Parliament will have to proceed with those, the business as it is, and see it through. So all these other legislations and bills that before, and remember, because we're talking about Gallums over the last few years, that LI 2462, which everybody has been talking about, the government said they're going to start the processes to try and repeat it. What it means is that that's one of the that would be one of the victims of this.
Yeah.
Although it's part of the conditions that led to organized labor saying we're backing off and watching you proceed to have it repealed, what has happened tonight in effect is that a government will no longer proceed with that process because they have to go to the Parliament to say we want to repeal this. Mm. That is one of them, obviously. And there'll be a host of other government business that will not move. Mm. But it doesn't stop Parliament from still functioning. Now, one of the grey areas, and we still have on the line with us Dr. Rashid Rahman to tell us, to sort of clarify for us, is without the government of the day, the executive government, taking business to the House, can Parliament function? I mean, it's what will the minority side be deliberating on when they go to the House? Of course, one way to look at this is if they have business already before them, they will take it. But if the government of the day doesn't bring the business, what will the House do? I mean, it's a question. I mean, listen, this is an uncharted territory. We are all learning, and we'll learn a bit more in the next few hours, days and weeks until the Supreme Court comes with final clarity on the matter. And so we have to grope a bit. They have to elect a second deputy speaker. That's first of all, with 51 days on election. They have to reconstitute all committees in Parliament. Again, we haven't seen that happen with 51 days on election. If you like, stretch it with the life of Parliament just 2 months or just a little bit short of 3 months for it to expire. They have to reconstitute every single committee in Parliament. We haven't seen that before. How will that happen when you do not have the minority members, and by the way, when I say minority members, I'm talking about the MPP members of Parliament, participating in the process, because they have to nominate their members to the various committees. But they say they don't want to participate in the House. In other words, there is an indefinite boycott of Parliament by the MPP side that is uniting the minority, leaving the House to, of course, the NDC side. This, obviously, as we've been saying, if it is joining us, is a major breaking news story. Yeah. We haven't seen this transpire before. It's completely uncharted territory, constitutional questions being raised. We will see how quickly the Supreme Court gets a seat here on this matter.
Well, on that bit, let's bring in a legal practitioner, Kweku Painter, to help us understand what you know we should all be expecting. But Lawyer Painter, I'm grateful to you for joining us. Now, Afeo Makin says he's taking this case to court. Well, we don't know when the court will sit on, but if the court comes to overturn the ruling of the speaker, what happens? Hello, Lawyer Painter.
Hi.
Yes.
I can hear you.
Good. So I was asking that if the Supreme Court overturns the ruling of the speaker, what's next?
Well, quite naturally, then everything goes back to normal. Everything goes back to the way it was before where we find ourselves now. It should be as simple as that.
Okay. Will it be a simple matter to arrive at in terms of the Supreme Court?
You know, the Supreme Court can make an arrangement for itself. I mean, we say that fundamental problems require fundamental solutions.
Okay.
And even though we've not been faced with this kind of situation, this is what makes us a dynamic, human institution. That is to say, we have to change to reflect the situations that we find ourselves in. And even though I have no reason to believe that anybody contemplated this, I believe that the Supreme Court can rise to the occasion by making certain rulings in very quick succession or quick times to reflect the mood or rather the problem in which we find ourselves. So I have no doubt whatsoever that once the appropriate applications are brought before the Supreme Court will appreciate and know that we are not in normal circumstances, and I have every reason to believe that they will rise up to the occasion. So I've got no doubt whatsoever in my mind about what the Supreme Court can do to rise to the present challenges that we have to our Constitution. I have no doubt whatsoever.
But if you look at Article 97H, if he was elected a member of parliament as independent and joins a political party, I mean, isn't it straight? Is this ambiguous that the Supreme Court should make pronouncement on?
You consider it straightforward, but then we have a dispute. And the dispute about is between learned people, between all kinds of, between Speaker of Parliament. But I can tell you this, I have no doubt whatsoever in my mind that the Speaker of Parliament is so wrong and so definitely wrong that I will not even attempt an explanation except to hope that the Supreme Court will have the earliest opportunity to make a pronouncement on the issue, because no interpretation can be placed upon those clauses to suggest that if somebody intends that he does not want to be with the same party with which he entered into parliament at this current session, he then had declared himself out. There are clear positions for resignations. There are clear situations for even the party itself finding itself in a situation where it wants to dismiss that member from its from its own party. And if none of these have been invoked, no interpretation can be placed on those clauses. I'm talking about G and H to give you the interpretation they're given. And you see, I like to illustrate it by very simple, if you permit me, very simple illustration. You know what? Under law, for instance, I want to use the institution of marriage as an example. Once you go through an ordinance marriage, nothing can happen between the two people for the marriage to be said to be dissolved unless by a court of law. In other words, however the parties, the people decide to live, the husband and wife, and whatever it is, it only takes a court of law to dissolve that kind of marriage.
Okay. But stay on with me, but let me bring in Harun Edrisu, who is joining us on phone. He's MP for Tamale South. I'm grateful to you for joining in here. Now, you were the genesis of all of this, because you indicated that you wanted to move for the EDC to be declared vacant because they've gone against what the rules are. I mean, I'm sure you've had your objective, you've achieved your goal, right?
1-1. 1-1-2.
Okay. Mr. Edrusu, can you hear me? Do I have you with me?
Yes.
Great. So I was asking that once you were the originator of this, you indicated that you wanted to get a speaker to declare this seat as vacant. Your objective has been achieved.
Thank you very much. It's not a matter of personal grandeur. It's about the speaker upholding constitutional supremacy in Ghana, upholding the values of our constitution, protecting our democracy, and enriching our democratic tenets. Subject to the Supreme Court, when I first mentioned this matter, I indicated that if the speaker ruled otherwise, I would have gone to the Supreme Court to test the law on the matter. But precedent makes it conclusive that this is what should happen to the Parliament of Ghana. The four must vacate their seats. I've heard arguments elsewhere that they haven't defected yet. When will they defect again? If you run to Parliament and choose post, whether from a political party to independent or independent to a political party, it's within the tenor. Fortunately, the Speaker hasn't declared the seat vacant. The Electoral Commission will naturally have conducted by election. But Article 1126 says the country that if the period to a general election is less than 3 months, there shall be no election. So the seat shall remain vacant until the presidential and parliamentary elections of November 7th. And until a new parliament is sworn in on 7 January, read the provisions of Article 112, sub clause 6. Writing that parliamentary democracy is better enriched today, our parliamentary and constitutional jurisprudence is better enriched today, and I'm happy for our democracy. Let's see what the majority will do, at least the bane of Ghanaians is. What do we do to end Galamsey? What does an NDC majority, what will be an NDC majority to that? Ending Galamsey. And then overborrowing, what will be an NDC majority response to that? At least President Akufo-Addo is now walking on two fractured legs, exiting as president, lame president, and now not having control of parliament, where many of the decisions are subject by oversight to parliament. So, a day of joy for Ghana's democracy, not Haruna Idrisu. I swore to uphold the constitution at all times.
Okay. Now, the now minority have indicated that they are not willing to do business in the House. If you go to the House on Tuesday and they do not turn up, how would the House run?
That means government has no business. The country will still run. Parliamentary business will run. Government business may not be able to run. Their best forum is to go to the Supreme Court, which has exclusive jurisdiction over the interpretation of the Constitution. And we will all be bound by any decision of the Supreme Court. But I'll be surprised if the Supreme Court took any decision to the contrary.
So you don't expect the Supreme Court to overturn this ruling?
I don't anticipate it, given precedent, given our history, and given the plain, ordinary meaning of the words used in Article 97, 1, G, and 8. There are unambiguous provisions. The words does not cause confusion in the mind of any person or create any ambiguity after the Supreme Court to be looking for the second meeting of the Wednesday. I don't see it, but I respect the authority of the Supreme Court, and particularly the exclusive jurisdiction for the matter. But there is no violence. There is no precedent. There will be no precedent. We are still at the one. Thank you.
Will you be disappointed if the Supreme Court overturns this ruling?
It also enriches our constitution. The decisions that are made today will guide us into the future
American democracy is over 200 years. We are just 30 years. So what is it that the Supreme Court can do to strengthen our democracy? We look forward to that.
Well, what happens to the second deputy speaker position now?
I'm not interested in discussing those tests. I'm interested in upholding the values of the people.
Okay. All right. Grateful to you, Harun Edrisu, for joining us here. Let me bring in Dr. Rashid Rahman. Dr. Rashid Rahman, so how do you expect the House to run if the now minority groups say they are not willing to do business with the now majority?
Fortunately, we are in an era where private members' bills are allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Just today, we're at the Kempinski Hotel. As civil society leaders contributing to a bill, a private member's bill on international transactions and loans and the role that Parliament ought to play. This is a private member's bill, and from my understanding, Parliament intends to consider this bill before it rises. So things like that could be subjects that Parliament can deal with in the meantime before any government business comes in. But I mean, the long-term consequence of it might be that if bills like this eventually pass into law, maybe the president might not want to have anything to do with it, as we saw in the case of the LGBTQ bill and other bills that the president has not assented to. So Parliament could continue to function and do its work. I think they have a lot of work that they can do. But when it comes to maybe the role of the executive and some of these, I mean, to give them finality, we might face some problems. But let me go back to the main issue and to say that, you know, I think in all these, tempers are very high, emotions are very high. One side is jubilating, the other side is not quite pleased. I mean, we saw the walkout and so on. But I would say, I think at the end of the day, it's dialogue that is going to take us out of this difficulty, especially at a time when we are preparing for elections. And then also, I think this might also be a lesson for the two parties, because we have to ask the question at this point. I mean, what has given rise to this? And I think you analyze this, it goes back to, you know, some of the kind of how parties handle candidates and so on. This is not the first time we are seeing this. I mean, what caused the president was how Honorable Essiamah was treated by his party. And I think that lesson did not come home very well to the two parties. And we have seen a repetition, and we might see a repetition in the future. So for me, I think the parties have to learn lessons. And the NDC, I've heard the flag bearer and the supporters jubilating. I think they also have to take note of this and be careful, because precedents are being set so that in future, whoever is in government doesn't get caught up, because they can repeat the same mistakes, and as we have seen in this instance.
We've also been joined by constitutional law lecturer, Professor Kokwansa Asare, who's just joined us. Prof, I'm grateful to you for joining us. Now, this is quite an interesting development in our politics and in our how we do practice our democracy. For you, how did this come to you as someone who is versed in the constitutional law of our country?
Hello?
Prof.
Hello, nice to
meet you, Mr. Ansari. Mr. Ansari.
Yes, please.
Okay. Now, I want to find out from you. You do have, you know, a lot of understanding in terms of, you know, our constitution and how we're governed by these laws. How did this ruling by the speaker come to you?
Well, thank you very much. I wasn't surprised at all. what we need to understand is that Parliament has its own standing orders. It has its own regulation, its own procedure. And whatever Parliament does in conformity with their laid down procedure cannot be challenged in a court of law, or that we should expect the Supreme Court to overturn the ruling of the Speaker on a matter that was regularly before the House, that was debated in accordance with the standing orders of the House, that, you know, received the Speaker's ruling, communicated in accordance with their standing order 74, 1 and 2, and their standing orders came into force this year. So this year, they made the standing orders for themselves. And my understanding from what the Supreme Court ruled in the J.H. Mensah case was that whatever Parliament does in the exercise of its authority that is lawful cannot, you know, be challenged before in the court of law. That's my understanding. And therefore, if the Speaker has spoken and the Speaker said, you know, that he has communicated in accordance with the standing practice of the House, and he emphasized that since 1993, this has been their procedure, how does one challenge, you know, such practice in the Supreme Court and who, you know, to win?
Okay.
It's not possible. I mean, we are practicing separation of powers. Each arm of government is the domain in its own right. So just as the executive cannot be faulted when they take executorial decisions, so may we also expect that whatever Parliament does in the regular exercise of this jurisdiction cannot be questioned. It is only when they go beyond, you know, their powers, when it becomes ultra-violent, that it can be questioned. But if it is within, as, you know, I'm sure they did this afternoon, it is unfortunate that the majority, you know, try to highlight the fact that they were not giving a hearing. You know, one would therefore say that the rules, you know, the audio or parliament pattern rule was brief. But how were we brief? It was debated. Each side was given the opportunity to speak, and then the speaker, you know, made his ruling.
But the former speaker, Professor Michael Quay, said those who were affected or who were going to be affected by this ruling should have been given a fair hearing. The four MPs whose seats have been declared vacant now, that's where the former speaker was saying those people need to be given a fair hearing. Not necessarily the majority side of the House, but those who are affected.
Fair hearing as to what? As to the fact that they caused carpet, or the fact that, you know, there will be consequential notification of what they did? Or, you know, if it was validated, then A, B, C will be the consequences. I don't see, you know, the problem, you know, here. They were heard, all right. The EC examined their documentation, right? Their internal rules, that's the internal rules of their political parties. And what, you know, they should cover us, not the secret ruling. If you cross carpet, you know the consequences that your seat will be declared vacant. And this is not the first time that, you know, the speaker is declaring seat to be vacant. Mike, okay. I mean, when he was a speaker, I believe that, you know, the same thing happened. The same, and it's precedent. So what the House does today, they should be mindful that in 10 years' time, the same thing will play back. So if they expect a certain pattern, then both houses should agree on a certain format that if before we declare a seat vacant, we invite, you know, those directly affected. I cannot, you know, say here because I don't have the full details, know, whether they were invited or they were not invited, I can't really, I don't have those facts. But speaking as a lawyer, I believe that the electoral rules have been met. I don't think that by not calling them one for a one-on-one discussion, the rules were breached, not at all.
So you don't agree with those who argue that the political parties that these MPs belong to should have been the one calling for their seat to be declared vacant and not necessarily a member of parliament asking for?
No, it is an activity, you know, that is carried out by the EC and parliament, so the EC and both houses of parliament.
Mm. All right, so your expectation is that, I mean, the Supreme Court will not overturn this ruling by the Speaker?
I don't think so. I can't see how the Supreme Court, you know, can all of a sudden decide to lay down rules and regulations for Parliament. We are practicing separation of power. The legislature has its own province, the executive has its own province, and then the judiciary. So the judiciary is to interpret the law. It is not to make, you know, laws for parliament or regulate, you know, how parliament it goes about its daily parliamentary business. It's none of the function of the Supreme Court or for that matter, the judiciary. You don't have that power. If they make any pronouncement that will be inconsistent with the, you know, letter and spirit of the Constitution, it will be void, ab initio. Simple. The House and the standing orders of the House were agreed upon by the Parliament of Ghana and came into force on 2nd January 2024. They made it for themselves. The Supreme Court had no hand in it, nor the executive. So they made their bed, let them lie in it, period. But we have a precedent in the famous case of J.H. Mensah, you know, and that's the MPP. So we have had precedent.
But I mean, if you look at Article 97G, the second part of it says, seeks to remain in Parliament as an independent member. I mean, I was it referring to the current or the future? Because these people say they have not left their party. They are only filing to run as independent for the next parliament, not the current one.
Yeah, but when we make rules for the present and the future, isn't it?
Yes.
We don't make rules for the past. We make rules for the present and the future. So what they are saying is that if you cross carpet. And this thing, you know, should have been obvious to the both parties, especially the MPP, when the young man, you know, who sided with them and was elevated to the position of second deputy speaker, they ought to have known that in itself was false, it was questionable. You know, but they remained silent on it. And now it's played back, adversely for the MPP. Mm. Adversely for the MPP. Mm. Now, all politics aside, we are building a democracy. We are building a democratic culture. And in times of political transition, before and after, the role of the judiciary will become very, very critical. And this is one of the moments. Mm. But the judiciary is not, you know, to be seen to be interfering in order to make, you know, a particular political party dance around in Parliament House and then later subsequently on the street. No, they have to interpret the law. Can they regulate the internal procedures of Parliament? The answer is no, they cannot.
Wow, interesting days. I mean, it's quite interesting because the now minority group also believe that the Supreme Court could help them. But let's listen to what the Speaker said exactly when he was making the pronouncement.
Okay, thank you.
discrepancy has occurred. Honourable members, it is important to note that the determination of whether a member of parliament has resigned from their political party or has joined another party is a matter of fact. In 2020, during the tenure of Right Honourable Professor Aaron Michael Kui as Speaker of Parliament, a notable instance occurred when the New Patriotic Party notified the Speaker that the Member of Parliament for Formina, Honourable Andrews Asiema Amwako, was no longer a member of the party. The NPP requested that the seat be declared vacant in accordance with Article 97(1) of the Constitution, citing that the Member of Parliament had filed to contest the upcoming elections as an independent candidate, which violated the party's constitution. In response to this request and notification, Right Honourable Professor Aaron Michael Kui proceeded to declare the seat vacant. However, I must emphasize that this ruling made by the previous speaker does not bind other speakers, including myself. It is important to point out that in the present matter before the House, the notice of poll is available at the Electoral Commission on all the 275 constituencies. I have duly taken note of the notice of the poll, and furthermore, no member in making comments to the statement made to the House by the minority leader denies these glaring and notorious facts. And so, what is my role in all this? Honourable members, it is important to point out that the Speaker is called upon by the standing orders of Parliament, particularly Order 18, to inform the House of the occurrence of a vacancy of the seat of a member under clause 1B to E, G, and H of Article 97 of the Constitution. Accordingly, I proceed to inform the House that by the notification of the polls, the following members of Parliament have by their actions vacated their seats in Parliament. The members are Honourable Peter Yao Kwache Aka, NDC MP for Amenfi Central in the Western Region, now referred to as an independent parliamentary candidate for the same constituency. Two, Honourable Andrew Amwako Asiema, independent member for former constituency in Ashanti Region, now referred to as MPP parliamentary candidate for the constituency. Three, Honourable Kojo Asante, MPP MP for Suhum in the Eastern Region, now referred to as independent candidate for the same constituency. And finally, Honourable Cynthia Mamile Morrison, MPP MP for Aguna West constituency in the Central Region, now referred to as independent candidate for the same constituency. These MPs cannot be allowed by law and my good self to continue to pretend to be representing people that they don't believe in and they don't have any loyalty for in this House any longer. The House is accordingly so informed. Honourable members, I thank you for your patience and attention.
Well, so that was the Speaker declaring those four seats as vacant. Well, my colleagues Kwekwa Sante and Maxwell Agbaba joining us. Kwekwa Sante joining me from Parliament, and Maxwell is joining us on the move because he's on the entourage of former President John Mahama. Let me come to you, Maxwell Agbaba. Maxwell, okay, so I have to start with Kweku. Kweku, we understand that the House, I mean the minority, the now majority, indicated that there has to be some arrangement and all of that that has to be done in terms of the committees. But let's start with the business that the House has to do. What businesses does the House have to complete from now to, let's understand the business that they have to do.
Well, there are a number of key government business that the majority will be seeking to get their numbers to do, the now minority, as you referenced. And there is two persons, our President Akufo-Addo, appointed to the Supreme Court. That decision has not been taken. Those persons have still not been approved to go onto the Supreme Court bench. That is still outstanding. There is the matter of $250 million IDA facility for the Ghana Financial Stability Fund. That has also not been decided. There is the matter of nearly $350 million worth of tax waivers that has also not been decided. There is the matter of a number of bills that are being considered. In particular, there was this EPA bill and a number of them that have still not been considered, which are currently outstanding. And then ultimately, there is this issue of a number of key business that government itself has put before the House. It has been seeking to sort of get an understanding of how exactly they were going to get that through. So all of these businesses are currently outstanding. And the minority, the majority side then, the MPP side, were seeking to get their numbers to be able to get these numbers through. Mind you, Parliament itself was going for just about 3-4 weeks before it takes a break for the election and then return on the midnight of 6 January to be sworn in to the 9th Parliament. But all these matters now particularly complicates matters for the majority side as to whether or not they are able to get the business through. Because the NDC minority, you've heard of Dr. Zelato Fossin, you heard some of the Kujeta Blackman, they say it is not going to be business as usual. And this key government outstanding business, which the majority, the then majority, the Alexander Afenyo Martin, have been agreeing to explain that these were matters they wanted to deal with before the House goes on break. All of them now caught in a political melee, all of them now in limbo, because with the exception of the votes on the Supreme Court nominees, which will be by secret vote, all the others will be by voice vote, and that one, the political parties are able to grip their members in line, because no MP is almost always ready now to stand up on their feet and be counted and say that they are in opposition to a stand by their side have been taken. So, those are some of the outstanding businesses that the House will have to do before it goes on break for the election and Christmas. But it appears now certain, because with the minority now becoming the majority, and some of them on all these issues, they disagree. The minority are in opposition to the $250 million loan. They are in opposition to the tax waiver. So all these are issues that the government is going to struggle to the House with this new turn of things. And you were referring earlier to what exactly is going to happen. Ordinarily, we were expected to say tomorrow, but that is not going to happen because the majority side, the now majority, the NDP side, you see that I'm struggling with a minority majority because it's and I'm starting to pick the right word. The now majority moved the motion that the House will be agenda Tuesday. They want to use between tomorrow and Monday to firm up a name to be nominated for a second deputy speaker. Andrew Amagosiama, having vacated his seat, the Parliament of Ghana now needs to elect a second deputy speaker. And there are already names going around, and the NDC say they're going to pick someone for that position on Tuesday when the House resumes. There's also expected to be the change of all the name tags in Parliament. The arrangement will now have to change. The NDP side will now have to go to the left side of the Speaker of Parliament, while the NDC side will come to the right side of the Speaker of Parliament and form the new majority. A number of these sitting arrangements will have to also be done. And if the majority are so minded and they're going to push through, you have to put the tabla and the minority, the new majority, the other side is a lot of voting. There has to be the new committees. The committees have to be reconstituted, and it means that the NDC will now chair a number of all the committees in Parliament for the business to progress. So that is how things are going to be in the House between now and probably the next 4 weeks when the House will take an adjournment. Government business really set to struggle in the House, Grace.
Interesting. You've been picking a lot of, reactions to this particular development. What have the, as we've heard from the leaders, what have the members been telling you?
Well, as usual, this is down the middle. It has become a political footballing game. In fact, I'm just at the office of the first deputy, now majority whip, Ahmed Ibrahim, who insists that there's absolutely nothing wrong with the new declaration that has been made by the speaker. But the minority, the NDP minority now insists there's everything wrong with what the Speaker has done, and they are going to hope that the Supreme Court will hear this matter expeditiously and set aside this declaration by the Speaker. Mind you, when Alexander Afenyo-Markin, the now minority that filed his action at the Supreme Court, there was no return date. That means the court did not set a date. They had to wait for Parliament and other parties to be served, for them to file their statements, among other things, before the court will set a date. These things ordinarily could take 14 days minimum. And the side, this, the time is not on the NDP side. And I understand now they probably will be going to court to get an abridgment of time to ask the Supreme Court to bring this matter forward and hear them expeditiously so that these matters can be disposed of. They are really clear in their mind, the NDP minority now, that the Supreme Court of Ghana needs to intervene, that the Speaker of Parliament, Alban Bagbin, is completely wrong. In fact, some of them, like Katie Among, when I was interviewing him earlier on, actually now admits that Michael Quick was wrong in 2020. I was asking him, why didn't they say it then? Is it not a sign of hypocrisy that you bask in that, you enjoy that, and now you are saying that the Speaker of Parliament then was wrong? They said, well, this is a legal question. It's not really about hypocrisy. It's not about politics. So that is the state of play in Parliament, Grace.
Quite interesting day in the House. We're making a lot of reactions and to see how this goes. But do still stay with us here on this particular show. Well, so Evans will be listening to a lot of these reactions. But Mr. Ansaasare makes it clear. He says it would be difficult for the Supreme Court to overturn what the Speaker has done.
Well, we'll wait for the Supreme Court to decide that, and the Supreme Court will have to go through that. And I think, for me, the biggest issue for the Supreme Court is not the decision, it is when they do it. If they do it, if they prioritize this now, ahead of, say, the LGBTQ bill before it, that is going to put the Supreme Court in the crosshairs of the political opponents, really. I mean, anybody else who watches the Supreme Court, it will actually expose the Supreme Court to significant questions. And for me, that is where the issue is. This is important for the government, but there are equally very important matters before the Supreme Court that they haven't sat on and deliberated on. So for me, the biggest challenge for the Supreme Court is not how they rule, whether they attend the Speaker or not, it is whether they prioritize this over other issues that we know that the minority have been pushing for a while, right? So they have to deal with that. They have to find a way of dealing with this, and I'm waiting to see how they deal with this in terms of the priority. Of course, the government is going to ask for an abridgment of time. I expect that to happen, to ask the Supreme Court to consider this urgently. And we know that others, they've done it in other cases. For me, that's where the controversy is, to see how they cross that issue. And then there's the subject of the precedent that Michael Quay had obviously done in the 2020, we know that became very controversial in the case of the Andrew Sama, who is the second Deputy Speaker, whose position is now vacant, right? There's an element in that for me is interesting. That, again, will come up for conversation now that this has happened. Remember, we are beginning to unpack this, we're beginning to learn that this is uncharted territory. One of the key things is, in Michael Quay's video, try to pull up the Hansard of what he exactly said. He seemed to hang his decision around the fact that the party itself triggered the process to sack him from the party, if you like, right? So they wrote to the party, then people wrote to the Speaker and say that they have dismissed this man from the party because he went independent. You automatically forfeited his membership of the party. Once you forfeit your membership of the party and the party has sacked you in essence, you are no longer there on the party ticket. And so you, in essence, will have to vacate your seat. I want to read that part. Having forfeited the membership of the party, and this is quoting from the Hansard, having forfeited the membership of the party on whose ticket he was elected to Parliament, the operative language of the Constitution is that he shall, which is mandatory, vacate his seat in Parliament. Now, the question, obviously, when they go to the Supreme Court, maybe they will argue this point, that in this case, the party had not taken the decision in all the four cases, as we've seen, to say that the Cynthia Morrison, the Suhum MP, and Mr. Kwachi Aka have all, in essence, we have taken this next step, which is
to
sack them. And as we've written to the Speaker to trigger that process, this process was started by another member of Parliament. And that then becomes the issue. And remember the point we made at the beginning, that the constitutional provision itself, on the question of if he seeks to remain, in the House. Again, it's the question of if you seek to remain in this parliament or the next parliament.
Yeah.
Again, it's the question that needs to be resolved. Very interesting days ahead, and the ball is in the court. Look, if you're a Supreme Court judge right now, if you're the Chief Justice, I don't envy you, because this is going to come before you. You have to first decide when to do it. Are you going to put it ahead of the LGBTQ? What will be your reason for doing so?
But mustn't the issues be divided into two? Because if you look at the age, in terms of the independent member of parliament, it says if he was elected as member of parliament as an independent candidate and joins a political party, is that not straight away?
Yeah, that's straight away. That's the point I made at the beginning. Yeah. As for Andy Sharma, in this case, as we speak to him, I'm talking about the three MPs who are gone independent, right? But Andy Sharma's case is for me. And of course, I'll wait for the Supreme Court to decide on this. It's subject matter for the Supreme Court to decide. But on the face of it, it looks pretty black and white.
Okay.
And that if he was elected a member of parliament as an independent candidate, stop there. Was he elected to parliament as an independent candidate? The answer to that is yes. And then go to the second part and joins a political party. As he joined a political party, yes, he has, because he's not running on the ticket of the MPP from now. So for me, it's cut and dry, it's black and white in this case. There may be a gray area on the three MPs in question, who of course have gone independent, although they are in this parliament on the ticket of two in the case of the MPP and one in the case of the NDC. The Supreme Court will have to decide that. In essence, but this is obviously a day that it's historic indeed, and we'll see how it plays out.
17th of October 2024 will definitely go down in the history of Ghana. But let's listen to former President John Dramani Mahama again on his reaction to this news, and then we'll cross over to Maxwell Agbaba.
From Parliament is true, and something historic has just happened. The report I am hearing is that the Speaker has declared 4 seats vacant. Of the 4 seats, 3 are from the MPP and 1 is from the NDC. So if those seats have been declared vacant, then it means in the line of one parliament, the minority has turned to the majority, and the majority has turned to the minority. So for me, God is even showing a sign of what is going to happen. Because even before we have cast one single ballot, the NDC has become the majority.
All right, let's bring in Maxwell Agbaba, who's traveling with the former president. Maxwell, so at what point in time was the former president told about this development, and what was his reaction?
Well, the party supporters had gathered at the own Methodist School Park, waiting his arrival. That earlier he had engagements with other stakeholders elsewhere. So all of the party supporters were gathered at the own Methodist Park. He was not present there. So just when he arrived on the ground, his spokesperson, Joyce Bar-Mukhtari, went closer to him and whispered into his ears what had happened. Standing very close to her was the deputy minority chief with Comfort, Dolu Kujo, who was also with Joyce Bar-Mukhtari. So the two of them gave him that information, and he could clearly see the excitement, on his face. But even before they announced to him what had happened, the deputy minority chief whip had told the party supporters the news and information that she had just received from parliament. And at that point, the rally ground at the Cone Methodist school park was ruptured into a state of hilarity, into a state of uncontrollable excitement. All the party supporters spontaneously started singing the NDC anthem. some of them who I interacted with said they believe that this is a victory before the December victory, and they told me that that is why they are celebrating. So when the NDC candidate arrived and the information was given to him, you saw the excitement on his face. That was the first thing he talked about when he got the opportunity, you know, to speak to the party supporters who are gathered at the Tomb Methodist School Park. Also, Judge Babuktari also had opportunity to speak to the supporters before their arrival of the NDC presidential candidate. And he said, "Course, and just like that, God is working for the National Democratic Congress." He has left, the NDC presidential candidate has left the Kantomanso constituency. The team is set to arrive shortly here in the Tema Central constituency. We arrived here, the press arrived here just some minutes ago, and the news is also here. I just had the MP telling the party supporters to get ready and that they are going to celebrate the news that I just reached them, you know, from Parliament. So for the NDC people, for the party supporters we've been speaking to, the refrain for them is that this is the victory before the December victory break.
All right. Let's see how it goes. But what has the mood been ever since this happened? Has it changed? How did it look like in the morning? Has there been any difference?
Since morning, the NDC presidential candidate has been responding to some comments made on the campaign trail by President Ekufo-Addo, and that sort of injured his supporters, excited the base of the party, who say they are very happy with the responses that the NDC presidential candidate had given to President Ekufo-Addo. So this came more or less like a booster. Often, when you reach the campaign grounds, when the party people are waiting for the presidential candidate, then the presidential candidate, the press team is part of that advance team that takes the lead. So the excitement is there. But when he arrives on the ground, the excitement usually reaches a different crescendo. I saw something quite different today. The excitement reached uncontrollable levels today when then the presidential candidate arrived on the ground. Okay. Obviously because of the news that had been given to them by the deputy minority chief whip about what had just happened in Parliament. So the excitement was, I would say, a quadruple of what, you know, we've been used to on the campaign trail.
Okay, all right. Grateful to you, Maxwell Agbagba there. We still have Lawyer Painted on the line. Lawyer, so just in wrapping up with you, you heard Mr. Kwekwan Sasare there. He says it will be difficult for the Supreme Court to make a pronouncement on this. But what's your own expectation of what the Supreme Court can do in this matter?
I fundamentally disagree with him. Because this is an issue bordering on interpretation of the Constitution. And it is only the Supreme Court that has been given the power to interpret the Constitution. Whatever the Speaker has done is, in essence, an attempt to interpret, Article 97, F and G of the Constitution, of that section, that is G and H, rather. And what it did is an interpretation. It's not to interpret by placing facts and evidence and this. And even the example, the very example that he gave, it does not fit. The example he gave of the MPP, of the MP for Mina, was a person that had been removed by the party. And therefore, what he did at the time was proper. So I fundamentally, because this is a constitutional matter, if we come up with a constitution, I don't even have to emphasize how heavily or how greatly I disagree with him. But it's a question of time. And I believe you keep a record of what he said and what we eventually transpire in the Supreme Court. It can never be the case that when it comes to an interpretation of the constitution, the Parliament of Ghana is that independent. It is not. I know they have their own working rules and so forth and so on, but in the way that it is interpreted, the way that it is meant to work for them, in the sense that it affects, I mean, any portion of the Constitution that we have, the Supreme Court will always weigh in. They are the only body they have got.